Thank you to Western Washington Coalition for Life for sponsoring today's broadcast of Life Talk Northwest. Born from prayer and a promise in 2018, the WWCFL's mission is to provide encouragement and support through resources, education, and information focused on embracing the beauty and sanctity of all human life. Engage with WWCFL at WWCFL.org or on Facebook at Western Washington Coalition for Life. Thank you, WWCFL, for supporting Life Talk Northwest.
Hello and welcome to Life Talk Northwest on Sacred Heart Radio. This is Katie Welch, former Northwest Regional Coordinator and Industry Impact Coordinator for Students for Life of America and Students for Life Action.
And I'm Dan Kennedy, former CEO and current board member of Human Life of Washington. And we are so glad you're listening to Life Talk Northwest. We have an important guest and an important show today. Senator Mike Padden is with us. He's a resident of Spokane Valley since 1978 and represents the 4th Legislative District in the State Senate. Senator Padden is the Republican leader of the Senate Law and Justice Committee. He also serves on the Senate Transportation Committee and the Senate Health and Long-Term Care Committee. He was elected to the State House in 1980 and served as a citizen legislator for more than 14 years. In March 1995, he was appointed Spokane County District Court Judge and won three additional terms through countywide elections. And we are fortunate that he returned to the legislature after election to the Senate in 2011. And during his legislative career, his many leadership roles have included House Majority Floor Leader and Chair of the Law and Justice Committee. Mike is a friend. I've known him for several years, and I would consider him the Dean of Pro-Life Legislators in Olympia, and we're glad you're here, Mike. Welcome back.
Well, it's good to be here and good to be visiting with you, both of you, and obviously your listeners out there throughout the state. And certainly it's been a tough session because the forces of life have been under attack like no other session I can ever remember. The governor has tried to even get a constitutional amendment passed that would enshrine the killing of unborn babies into our state constitution, Senate Joint Resolution 8202. Fortunately for us, that is not just a simple majority to pass that. That requires a two-thirds vote, mm-hmm. and they don't have the vote, so that bill is not going to make it. But there's other very concerning legislation, perhaps the one that I've been, we fought for the last 2 years, and a lot of your listeners have helped us defeat the bill, but it's still alive here, and we're very concerned about it. That's Senate Bill 5179, which would expand assisted suicide and would allow the mailing or delivery of lethal drugs to a household rather than having to be at a pharmacy and have proper identification and some security. In addition, it's reducing the time for which somebody can make a decision. And a lot of times people under pressure, you know, for the group fighting this, it has helped us a lot is the disability rights folks. And a lot of people will say, well, their lives aren't worth as much as other lives, and why don't they go, you know, get rid of themselves? And that's especially, I've heard it a lot with Down syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
Who I think are just the opposite. I think they add so much to our society by their spirit, their joy of life, and what they bring out positively in people that they come in contact with.
Right,
and
right.
We should be affirming all life as creatures of God and made in His image. And so this is very concerning. But for the first year, it has passed the Senate. We've been able to kill it the last 2 years in the Senate We got a great group of people that are fighting it. There are some legislators that have switched their position, are now opposing it, that previously supported it. But the bill is over in the House, and I certainly encourage anybody out there to call 1-800-562-6000 and let them know you are opposed to 5179. We've got such an increase in suicide now. Even under our existing laws, we have a higher per capita assisted suicide than even California.
So, yeah. I volunteered for 8 years on a suicide crisis line back in Michigan, excuse me, when we lived there, and I never ran across anyone who actually wanted to commit suicide. They felt like they had no choice. And of course, when you're elderly and you're kind of losing control and people, you know, you're worried about your family and you can be pressured very easily. And the safeguards they promised us, you know, when they initially passed this thing, which we opposed to start with years ago, they're removing now. What were safeguards back then are now considered obstacles. So, to be able to get it through the mail and that, you know, what could possibly go wrong, right?
Yeah, there's so much.
We had one testimony from a fellow in a 55 and over community. He said, hey, we're getting everybody else's mail all the time here. And,
wow.
And the post office is short staffed. There's more mistakes. They don't deliver the mail every day even. And, but, yeah, the whole idea of shortening, and then it's not just, it was that you had two opinions. Now it basically can be one opinion and not just a doctor. It can be a physician's assistant or nurse practitioner. They're just expanding it every which way. And
you have to wonder what this push is for the death culture here. It's at the beginning of life or at the end of life, there is this. I honestly don't understand. I mean, obviously, we live in a very secularized environment. Moral principles are kind of a moving target these days. I don't understand this push, this attack on life. It's like evil is just frenetic and it never rests, and we're constantly fighting it.
Well, the old saying, you could be arrested for destroying a rattlesnake's egg, but they're celebrating the death of a human being and both ends of the life spectrum, you know, the unborn life and at the end of life. And like you say, some of the caregivers are wonderful, but some are, you know, oh, hey, you're a burden now to your family, you know.
Right.
Here's what the law allows. This is legal now, you know.
Well, I'll repeat what Senator Patton just said about, you know, we need people to call 1-800-562-6000. That's the legislative hotline, and you need to oppose the bill 5179. And if you don't know who your legislator is, they will ask you for your address, and it's, you know, they are very helpful. I will tell you that they are very helpful, and they'll pass your message along. So the more people we have do that, the more pressure is on them, and maybe we can save our elderly, vulnerable, and those who are maybe not elderly but vulnerable nonetheless.
Not only the disability rights people, but this year we've emerged a group of veterans that are opposed to it, that suffer from PTSD, and they also are a group that is vulnerable, and we should be doing what we can to help these folks, not urging them to end their lives. And so, again, we appreciate all the help and the grassroots opposition to 5179. But yeah, I wish, and that's certainly not the only bad bill. There's a whole bunch of them.
Before we take a break, which is, well, we've got about 5 minutes here. Why don't you cover what was the governor's push to constitutionalize abortion.
I really think it was mainly political. They think it's a political advantage. But I don't think so. I think a lot of times people just do not hear the pro-life side. They do not hear about the humanity of the unborn child, about folks like Dr. Bill Lyle, the pro-life doctor from Florida, who I heard speak recently, and about the surgeries that are being done in the womb and saving these babies. And they give them anesthesia because they know they feel the pain. But of course, a lot of states are going in the different direction and protecting unborn life, from the heartbeat on or other things. So we're a country divided on this, but we sure need our pro-life people to speak up, continue to educate, and let people know all the wonderful things the pro-life community is done. The Catholic Conference has this pretends program, I think they call it anyway, where they take care of the baby and will help up to 5 years of age. And we've got the crisis pregnancy care centers. We've got hospice and other things that have come out of the pro-life movement. So it's a whole philosophy of life, a culture of life, and we've had really strong leadership from Rome on this, and I think it's something we all need to take seriously.
So, Senator, could you tell us about maybe some of the good legislation that is being proposed this session?
Well, we do have some good legislation. It kind of deals in other things. One thing that I think fits in very well with Catholic social teaching is a bill I have which promotes employee ownership. And with employee ownership, we know, and this is where people, workers, actually own the business. There's Winco. The grocery chain is an employee-owned business. Schweitzer Engineering out of Pullman, Washington, has 5,000 employees. There's about 61 of them throughout the state, and this would encourage that and be a clearinghouse and offer some tax credits. But where it fits into Catholic social teaching is the statistics and studies show people that work in employee-owned businesses are happier. They stay married longer, there's less divorces, and they retire in a better financial situation, and the business normally stays local and is not bought out and moved to some other place. So that bill has received a very good response, and I've worked with two Catholic businessmen from Spokane who've been promoting it, but it's... everybody seems to like it, and a bunch of different groups have supported it.
Well, that's a great way to go. We are about to take a break here, and when we come back, I'd like to talk about some of the bills that were offered, maybe the to get a flavor of the culture of death's attitude, maybe some of the bills that were offered that didn't get a hearing, but that were really bad bills. I think we need to understand a lot of times when a bill is offered and it, everybody's going, you've got to be kidding me. It's done as kind of a trial balloon, and in 3 or 4 legislative sessions, it may actually get a hearing kind of thing. So we're listening to Senator Mike Padden from the 4th Legislative District in Spokane area, and we are talking about what's going on in Olympia during this legislative session. We'll be right back.
A prayer for neighbors. Heavenly Father, help me to understand the answer Jesus gave to the question, who is my neighbor? About a man on the road who needed help, about those who refused it, and the one person who gave it. Make me more sensitive to the feelings of those I meet at home, in the store, in a crowd. Whether I know them or not, The nameless, the angry, the anguished, all people everywhere are my neighbors in you. No one is really a stranger unless I choose to make him so. Amen.
Welcome back to Life Talk Northwest on Sacred Heart Radio. We are speaking with Senator Patton. Senator, what could you tell us about Senate Bill 5599? I know that was introduced this session.
Yeah, Senate Bill 5599 is a bill that provides that a licensed shelter for runaway or homeless youth does not need to contact the youth's parents, even if there's been no allegation of abuse or abandonment or anything else, if there's compelling reasons not to. Well, the compelling reason not to that they allow in this bill is that the youth all of a sudden has decided that they want to be a transgender person.
Oh, jeez.
Transgender care. So it allows the host homes to house the youth without parental permission. These are runaways. Parents are anxious to find out where their children are. And here the state is intervening and,
Well, the state is really having a war against parents, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we fought this very hard, but it's past the Senate and is over in the House Human Services Youth and Early Learning Committee. Right now I don't see it scheduled for a hearing, but it could still easily have a hearing and could pass. And it's absolutely nuts. We ought to be affirming and unifying families, not tearing them apart, especially when there's no allegation of any wrongdoing.
Yeah, and this transitioning fiasco, it's a faddish kind of thing. And we never heard about it a few years ago. Like this was some, there are so many out there that are doing this kind of thing. It's absolutely ridiculous, and it's really abuse. You have to wonder, I wonder sometimes if people understand that the connection between how they vote and the policies that create just hellish living conditions.
Yeah.
If they can't connect the dots there somehow, it always amazes me.
Right. Well, and then there's not an ability really to reverse. There's a lot of dangers with this surgery. And what about the parents' job to protect their child?
Mm-hmm.
And this bill wipes it away.
Yeah, most of the results, most people regret that it was ever done. I think Johns Hopkins University stopped doing it a few years ago. There were so many suicides and people who came back and absolutely regretted being transitioned. And I think that story is starting to come out now.
Yeah. Well, and the age of these people, on the other hand, we hear all this stuff on when some young person is accused of criminal activity, they say, well, the brain science isn't developed far enough that be responsible for. But then on the other hand, here they are allowing them to make even more serious decisions. You could say mutilating their body.
Yes, absolutely. You have to wonder why this two standards that they hold when it comes to, say, a woke progressive agenda for young people and when it comes to holding young people accountable for their actions, there's two standards going on.
Yeah. Well, and the minors can't consent to these medical deals. To get an aspirin at school, the parents have to give their permission and sign all this stuff. Sometimes they require something from the doctor and everything else. And then this is, so it's ideologically driven, this bill. And it would be a real disaster. And my heart goes out for parents who are working with runaways who may have some mental health issues or other things. and then to compound it by getting into this. And frankly, this isn't always to the decision of the 12-year-old or 13-year-old. Some of these counselors are pushing this.
Do you recall who offered this? Who sponsored?
Yeah, Cinder Leas is the sponsor, and Cinder Claire Wilson, Cinder Dingra, Cinder Lovewood, Cinder Wynn, and Cinder Randall are co-sponsors.
Wow, unbelievable! Does it have sponsors in the House as well, or?
Well, it's just the Senate bill is over in the House.
Okay. So they did not offer a parallel bill in the House.
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Okay. So we are in danger, and it's not scheduled yet for a hearing in a committee in the House. Is that right?
Well, that's right, but they're scheduling now, and it may have already been scheduled, but just isn't public. But
okay. There's
a couple more weeks it could be scheduled. So this is another bill that your listeners could call in, especially the House members, indicating their opposition to 5599. Our office has had an awful lot of emails opposing this, so there's a lot of people out there, but there's also a lot of people don't know the bill's, in existence.
That's a major problem, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, it is that what's going on there. It just surprises me that these are really controversial bills and they get very little coverage. People are busy, and unless it's a major, bank meltdown or something like that.
Yeah, well, this is so bad. I mean, there are a lot of people. There was a group testifying it of, people that are involved in same-sex marriages that have children saying they do not want it.
Really?
The parents have got to be in charge.
Well, yeah, exactly. We used to be in charge. Until the state decided to drive a wedge between parents and children. And as I said earlier in the show, they are kind of at war with parents in the educational system,
all this. And a lot of this is driven from Olympia, where they're going to take over what had been local decisions and make them an Olympia and impose these mandates and regulations requirements on local school boards or in other areas on local city councils. But it's a centralization of power in our state, and even on some environmental laws. Our state is saying, well, our law will be whatever California does.
Crazy.
It's a kind of a crazy place here. There are some positive things and good things happening too, but we're fighting some horrendous things,
Another bill that Dan and I had spoken about was House Bill 1333. And what does that do?
Fortunately, that bill is dead. But it was a bill that would have allowed the Attorney General to form this investigative commission that go after what is quote-unquote extremism as defined and interpreted by the Attorney General. So it would have been probably a witch hunt on pro-life, pro-family people.
Yeah, that's Bob Ferguson, the Attorney General, had proposed this himself. Is that right? Then it had sponsors.
Right, and he got sponsors in the House. Like I say, it didn't get passed by the House by the deadline of last Wednesday, but. And like you mentioned earlier, Dan, that these things are introduced, and one year they don't make it, they come back. So it's called Establishing the Domestic Violent Extremism Commission, and it has a whole bunch of House Democrat sponsors.
Wow.
There's no Republican sponsors. There's 15 of them at least.
It had no Republican sponsors, you said?
Right.
Yeah, well, I would hope not. And I think, and we should mention, 2024 is next year. How you vote affects the policies that we live under or die under. And, you know, it's as important on the local and state level as it is on the national level. We have to connect the dots. You know, there are, if you don't hear about it, you don't realize how dangerous some policy proposals are and how dangerous, in fact, some people are who support those policies. You know, that one was under the, wasn't it under a public health umbrella or something that they?
Well, yeah, I mean, they ended up with, I counted them, 22 sponsors. These are all people that were elected as members of the House. So, yeah, they're.
These are thought police people, right? Authoritarian
basically.
Thought police.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't think that's going to affect the Catholic Church. And Catholic hospitals and everything else.
Yeah, so what would they have done?
Time, yeah, their bills going after that also. They'd like to force Catholic hospitals to do abortions, do this gender-affirming care, these transition surgeries, and a number of other things that go against their mission.
Yeah, you know, that's an important point, I think. When you mentioned that, you know, one could sit back and say, well, okay, if somebody wants to transition, then they ought to let them transition. What they don't understand is then they can force Catholic hospitals to do it as well, like they've been pushing for abortion and all that. So,
yeah, there's just so many things that everyone needs to kind of keep up on with Olympia for sure. But how can our listeners get involved again? What is the most effective thing we should be doing? Should we be emailing, calling, meeting with our legislators? What's the most effective, Senator?
Yeah, I always say, Katie, the more personal contact, the better. So, I mean, if you could see a legislator in person and talk to them, that's probably the best. The next might be phoning their office, if you can talk to them, or talk to their legislative assistant, and then, you know, using the hotline, emails, going, if there's a town hall meeting, going to that, or ask to meet with them when the session is over, and let them know your views, and getting your friends, neighbors, people from church to follow up also, let them know what's going on. Those things all can make an impact, and every so often we get a surprise and we're able to stop some really bad legislation or occasionally pass some good legislation.
And isn't there a way for, like, our listeners to virtually kind of sign in to these hearings?
Yes, absolutely. That is another thing. If there is a hearing on these bills, they can sign in and they go to the legislative website, leg.wa.gov, and there they can find out how to do that on a bill. They don't have to testify. They can just indicate their opinion on that. And we have had that where a lot of folks on our side have signed in big numbers.
Yeah, so I have that done that a few times this legislative session. That's very easy to do. We are out of time, Senator Padden. It has been very enlightening for us. And again, I would ask people to reach out to their legislators. And if they just want to make the phone call, that's 1-800-562-6000, the legislative hotline. And as Katie mentioned and Senator Padden's response, you can virtually sign in and not testify on a bill, but give your position pro or con. So, Senator Padden, we're so delighted that you took the time out. We know you have a meeting coming up immediately, so we're very grateful for you being here today. Thank you.
Thank you
so
much.
Thank you both, and God bless you and all the work you're doing. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Senator Padden. And thank you, listeners, to Life Talk Northwest. I'm Dan Kennedy, former CEO of Human Life of Washington, telling you to please keep the faith.
And I'm Katie Welch. God bless you all.
Thank you to Western Washington Coalition for Life for sponsoring today's broadcast of Live Talk Northwest. Born from prayer and a promise in 2018, the WWCFL's mission is to provide encouragement and support through resources, education, and information focused on embracing the beauty and sanctity of all human life. Engage with WWCFL at wwcfl.org or on Facebook at Western Washington Coalition for Life. Thank you, WWCFL, for supporting Life Talk Northwest.